Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service. Catch all the hard-hitting news and current affairs that focuses on all relevant First Nations issues from a First Nations standpoint. This is Bo Spearham with Let's Talk.
Welcome to Let's Talk. Before I go on any further, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners on this land that we are broadcasting from. I'd also like to pay my respects to our elders, also our elders of more recent arrival. And a big shout out to everybody from around the continent that is joining us via the National Indigenous Radio Service NIRS, or if you're tuning in via our app, 98.9 FM, for the best country, which you can download for free from your app store. Also, if you're joining us via our website, 989fm.com.au, where you can stream us live, or you can listen to this program as a podcast via our website, and you can listen to previous Let's Talk programs. And don't forget, you can stream us via Spotify and Apple Podcast. Those platforms beaming us into your communities. And as always, it is great to have your company. So yesterday, after I did Let's Talk, I had the pleasure of attending the Battle of Miwa commemoration in Toowoomba. And for any of you who might not be aware of the Battle of Miwa, it was part of the Frontier Wars. And the Frontier Wars consisted of battles for land that took up most parts of the continent. It was a significant. It was really significant because it demonstrates the courage and the valour of Aboriginal people. And in relation to the Battle of Miwa, between 1841 and 1848, the Yagara headman Omopi and his son Maltugra and other headmen led many raids and sieges. Their allies, the mountain tribes, conducted similar resistances on the Darling Downs, as well as far as the Cunningham's Gap. But in particular to our conversation today, on the 12th and the 13th of September, 1843, Eagle Chief Warrior of the Yagara Tribe, Maltugra, and the surrounding allied tribes led the masterful resistance now known as the Battle of Miwa, or One Tree Hill. During 11 days of constant sieges of the cattle runs in the valley below, three cattle cards heavily loaded delays, each with several bullocks armed with extra protection. 18 men with guns were sent towards the Darling Downs from Ipswich. Maltugra and over 100 warriors fenced up the road and successfully ambushed and sacked these cattle carts between Mount Tabletop and Mount Davison, sending all 18 men fleeing. Later the same day, a force of 30 to 45 squatters and servants arrived to avenge the ambush, only to be driven back by a shower of spears and boulders from Maltugra's forces. On a spur on the top of the Mount Tabletop and possibly Mount Davison, in the days that followed, a force of up to 75 squatters, servants, border police and soldiers from the 99th Detachment undertook a three-week pursuit of Maltugra and his forces, now over 300 warriors, covering 20 kilometres to Rosewood Scrub. The pursuit involved skirmishes and counter-raids on both sides. Negotiations, a permanent military post was established in that region as well. But that's enough from me in regards to talking about the Battle of Miwa and also Maltugra. I'm actually going to get an expert on who has been a part of the commemoration and also our Friends of Maltugra. So that part I just read is from the website Friends of Maltugra. Head to Facebook or even Google it, and you can go to their website as well. My guest that I'm bringing into the program is Dr. Mark Copeland. Good morning, Mark. How are you going?
Oh, good morning, Bo. I'm going well. Great to be with you.
Likewise. Just before we go any further, tell us a bit about yourself, where you're from and what you do.
Yeah, well, I currently, my day job at the moment is I work in a leadership team up at St Vincent's Hospital in Toowoomba. But I guess what's led me into this space, I grew up out in Gundawindi on the McIntyre River, Biggumbull, Goomeroi country. And I guess I was conscientiotised around racism, that I probably participated in. So I led a very, you know, middle class life. I then went away and fell in love with Australian history, and I just studied the history of my own backyard where I'd grown up around Gundawindi, and I discovered that was the birthplace of the Queensland Native Police, and that there was a huge resistance campaign with the Biggumbull people out there. And so I did some research on that. And so, yeah, and done lots of other things, but always been, even though my day job's rarely been as a historian, I've always been passionate about, acknowledging and commemorating our shared past, and especially our frontier wars. So I guess that's, I've been involved with that around the Darling Downs for a number of years.
I'm from down that way as well. My my nan, she's a white man from Toomala, yeah, and old Toomala as well, before they got moved there. And I'd love to know a bit more about the Native Mounted Police and sort of how it was sort of started in that area as well. I didn't realise it was started further down that area. And that's another time and another yarn. But in particular to our conversation today, we're yarning about the Battle of Miwar and the efforts of Multuggera and many other Aboriginal men and women in the Darling Downs area. What's your involvement with the Friends of Multuggera?
Yeah, I guess I kind of accidentally came across this. I've been involved. Been doing research in the area, and I was invited with the late great Uncle Darby McCarthy onto the Heritage Advisory Committee for the Toowoomba Regional Council, or Toowoomba City Council back then. And I don't know if many of your listeners know Toowoomba, but it's a there is a huge silence when it comes to recognition of Aboriginal sovereignty, Aboriginal presence, and 60,000 years or more in this area. And so it was Darby and my job to try and raise the profile, to try and celebrate. We were aware that there were a group of school students out at Middle Ridge State School, and in year four, they'd learnt the story of this warrior that you mentioned at the start of today's show, Multuggera, and they couldn't believe that there was nothing in our city that recognised him. And so they went away to the council, wrote a letter to the Toowoomba City Council, and after lots of toing and froing, finally, three little plaques were put up in places looking over Miwar, Mount Tabletop. So Darby and I looked at the wording of that, and it had been watered down, it's fair to say. The end of the account of this resistance campaign or this battle kind of said, oh, we don't know what happened. We don't know what happened to Multuggera and his warriors, but peace was made and we didn't hear of him later, almost like he and the warriors retired and went to the coast. So we got in touch with Dr. Ray Kirkhove and then discovered that there was this extraordinary campaign of resistance and these alliances that had been built by Multuggera. He tried to be diplomatic. He tried to get alongside white settlers. And then when things broke down, and especially when his father, was killed and attacked, then things heated up. Yeah, so that kind of brought me to the story. And then we wanted to there are many, as you know, Beau, and many of your listeners know, there are probably hundreds, if not more, battles and warriors across this nation But this one was particularly well known. There's a line drawing of a massacre that happened after it in the National Library in Canberra. There was a poem written about it, lots of newspaper articles. So that, kind of from the white historian point of view, there was quite a lot there. So we felt it was good to start the local community, honouring this great man.
And the significance of this, the Battle of Miwa, was the first defeat of the furthest colony from Sydney. Is that right? And was Queensland established at the time, or no?
No. The colony wasn't colony. It was still New South Wales at that time. Mm. But certainly, to the best of my knowledge, it's one of the few times where the British army were brought in, and there's actually a fort set up at present-day Helidon, near Helidon, where that they would protect the drays and accompany them up the range. So it was taken pretty seriously by the government at the time. And for a long time, there were lots of no-go zones where, Multagra and his alliance kind of ruled. So we felt I shared with the people gathered, what I love about the celebration of Multagra is it's not positioned as a victim. Like we honour him for his agency and his capacity to lead. That kind of spirit continues to this day.
I remember you saying that, and I thought that was a really good way to honour not just Multagra, but the many Aboriginal people on the frontier who are not just sort of victims and survivors of frontier conflict, but so much more. The heroes and their resistance leaders and just so much more. The innovators, to yarning to someone like Ray, understanding sort of how resilient First Nations people was on the frontier, or even before that, to understanding how they could sort of in somewhat way compete with sort of Europeans on the battlefront, using the environment to their advantage, what happened at the Battle of Miwa as well.
Yeah, and I guess, I'm not a military historian, but it's kind of guerrilla tactics. And, you look at, Vietnam or even present Afghanistan or places where, armies with bigger firepower, more soldiers, etc., but they're fighting on someone else's patch. And that certainly happened on that day and on a number of other days when, Multagra, won the day.
You mentioned just before as well, years ago, a grade four class, a local school in Toowoomba got together. They found out the history. They were disgusted that, there was no recognition of Multagra, of the Battle of Miwa. And this gets to the conversation of acknowledging the frontier wars. For a very, very long time in this country, it was sort of pushed, to the back of sort of the classroom or sort of the history books and it, to its own degree, sort of denied. Even today, there's still sort of denials of sort of, massacres and conflicts as
absolutely.
Well.
I haven't, I've only sort of seen headlines or cartoons, but apparently the education minister at the moment saying, let's focus on the good. But whether you want to call it good or bad, it is what it is. And the thing, people of my age and stage, and I'm in my early 50s, we did learn that Aboriginal people were here first, but then we just kipped over to the explorers and then the white settlers and then the farms, etc. Mm. And we never talked about that chapter. How did the land, here are people who've been here 60,000 years, how did the land suddenly get in other people's hands.
Mm.
And that little piece, hopefully is becoming better known. But I think we need to be sophisticated. And a book that changed my life was The Other Side of the Frontier by Henry Reynolds, where, again, not just seeing people as victims, but saying these are people who, you know, had love of country, who paid the ultimate sacrifice. And so I guess we all stop as a nation on Anzac Day. And like many others, when are we going to acknowledge the frontier wars?
Mm. That's what I want to get into about as well, is the honouring, the commemorating as well. But just on what you said, it is very interesting because, you know, we know when Captain Cook planted the flag. We know when Arthur Phillip and the First Fleet are sort of came and set up the official sort of Sydney and New South Wales colony. And then we know in 1901, Australia was sort of federated and sort of broke off from the British. But, yeah, you know, like there's this whole 120, 130-year sort of history before that, like that is still unknown as well. And, Australia has done, you know, I guess their job at ignoring that history, because then what it does it gives a perceived notion or perception on the legacy of Aboriginal people, and it leaves out the idea of the courage and the resilience from Aboriginal people, which we know as blackfellas, that we have this history and that we have this sort of shared history with, what has continued to happen as well.
Yeah.
But just on what you mentioned before as well, in regards to honouring Aboriginal, the efforts of Aboriginal people on the frontier, and the frontier wars in general as well, the massacres, the battles, the conflicts, isn't sort of seen as significant as sort of Anzacs and servicemen and women as well. Do you believe or do you think there should be a national day or more localized days like the commemoration of Miwa, the Battle of Miwa?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I haven't formulated in my head whether we make it one day or whether we have separate days, but yeah, that gap is massive. In owning our own story. I really think, and that's a part of being honest, to be truthful about our past. And I don't think our relationship can improve fully until we do that.
I think before we have sort of any other big national discussion in terms of where we go as a country, or where Australia and Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people sort of move forward to, we got to have this initial conversation about what has happened, accountability in terms of accepting, that this shared history has two legacies. One that is draped in sort of the blood and the dispossession and the trauma of Aboriginal people, and then the other that is sort of cloaked in, I guess as it sort of, as they say, the victors always tell history, and they reap the rewards, and you can really see, the rewards that majority of Australia has, today as well. But, it's for a lot of people that are listening as well. And, you sort of alluded to it before that, this happened in many parts of this country. I've been very fortunate to sort of, have conversations with Ray Kirkhove, with Lindley Wallace and Lyndall Ryan and Stephen Gapps and many other amazing historians, Aboriginal, non-Aboriginal, people as well, and the amount of sort of knowledge that they have of sort of the frontier, who participated in it, you know, where things happened, you know, is just one amazing in that knowledge. But then also the fact that this happened everywhere, you know, like there's most parts of this continent had battles, had massacres happening in various parts of this country.
Yeah, and I guess that's the thing we can exceptionalise. Like you have places very, very high profile, like Mile Creek, because they were recorded. But all of the other places that are not, you know, were hidden. That doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Oh, definitely. You know, and these are sort of roads that we may drive down, or sort of on the side of the highway, or different roads at the back of sort of, you know, communities. Like these, in one aspect, they're unknown places, but they're well visited sort of areas as well. You know, here in Brisbane, the gallows where they used to hang people, one of the last publicly executed people was Dunderley, and you know that's bang smack right in the middle. Of the CBD of Brisbane, you know, and every year in the beginning of January, we sort of head in there and light a fire and do a commemoration for Dunderley on that day. And, you know, it's, you know, like we're literally sort of walking over, you know, where not just one of the last people were publicly executed, but many people, Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal people, sort of in that time period, would have been executed. And it's you know, knowing, you know, the places that we walk on is very important as well.
Yeah, and I think as a white fella, I think it's important that I'm not selective in my memory. You know, last week in the United States, I had, you know, hashtag Never Forget. We have, you know, lest we forget. But what are we remembering? And sometimes we're a bit selective about what we want to remember. And I think we have to, all of our humanity needs to be remembered, not just parts of it that we'd like to.
Definitely. Just sort of in wrapping up as well, where can people go, Mark, to find out a bit more about the Battle of Maiwa, and just sort of to know more information about the frontier as well? You know, some books you're reading, you know, some websites where people can go to sort of find out as well, and maybe to get in contact with friends of Maltugara.
Yeah, well, our Facebook page, Friends of Maltugara, make contact there. Also, Dr. Ray Kirkhove and Frank Ua wrote a book, which is published through Billerong Press, about the Battle of One Tree Hill, so you can find a lot there. You've mentioned, Dr. Lyndall Ryan's phenomenal work with the massacre maps, that map across the nation. And there's just, there are some really good, solid historians, working out. Too many to name, and I'll leave some out. But
that's all good. Just really quickly as well, like we spoke about the Battle of Maiwa. Are there any other significant dates or memorials, or even do you know of any other significant events that happened in the frontier that are coming up that, you know, maybe we should know about?
Not in my particular part of the world. So we're focusing on that. And I guess the other thing is we want to, our group also wants to look at the 26th of January in a different way. So we are starting to plan each year. We'll have an alternate, event up here, in Toowoomba, and people are really welcome to come to that as well.
Deadly. Thanks for that.
Okay.
Also, what's your role with the Friends of Maltugara? Where do you sit?
Well, I guess we're a tight little group. We want to expand, but I guess I've sort of been a co-chair with Josh Waters, fantastic young Kamilaroi man, and also we're closely with Mel Waters. But we've got a great group. We have roughly, roughly modelled ourselves on Friends of Myall Creek, you know, making sure we've got First Nations people and the broader community represented, but we always want to have First Nations at the table as a part of it. Yeah. So, yeah, no, it's a fantastic little group to be a part of. I'm really honoured.
Awesome. Thanks for that. And if you are just tuning in to Let's Talk, my guest on the program, Dr. Mark Copeland, Chair of Friends of Multagra. Head to the Facebook page and also the website. Definitely check out The Battle of One Tree Hill, the book that Mark just mentioned as well. There are resources out there as well. If you just Google Frontier Wars, lots of content will come up. I usually check that out all the time as well. We're going to head to a break, and then after that, we have I got some audio yesterday at the event of Uncle Kev Carmody speaking about his knowledge of Multagra and also how he come up with the song about Multagra. So stay tuned to Let's Talk here on 98.9 FM, Murray Country.